Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining me Beyond the Divide. Today, I want to dive into something that's pretty revolutionary. This is the art of holy rest. Why your body and your mind need it, why hustle culture is lying to you, and how scripture and history back this up with jaw-dropping clarity. If you have ever felt guilty for taking a nap or skipping a workout to sit in silence or saying no to one more Zoom call, this episode is like your permission slip from heaven. So let's begin with a breath, and we'll be right back.
Rise above, we're breaking through. No more lines, just me and you. Hearts align, we'll find the way. Together, we'll see the day. Beyond the divide, we'll stand as one, chasing truth. Till the fight is won, from the shadows to the light. Beyond the divide.
All right, guys, I know that you've all seen the memes that you can sleep when you're dead, grind till you shine, no days off. And they sound motivating at 2 a.m. when you're editing a spreadsheet with one eye open. But the truth is that science and scripture agree that hustle culture, this glossy Instagram filtered lie that says more hours equal more worth. And it's not just exhausting, it's dangerous for your body. And the data and the science and the scriptures, they all scream the same warning. You know, we all want to get somewhere in life. We all want to improve on our status. We want to do whatever it takes to be able to have, you know, be able to live that good life, to enjoy our time here on this earth. But in the hustle to achieve, we also need to make sure that we're allowing our bodies ample time to rest. Your brain isn't a machine, it's a garden. And neuroscientist Matthew Walker says that chronic sleep deprivation shrinks your hippocampus, which is like your memory center of your brain, and it ages your prefrontal cortex to that of a 70-year-old. So the translation of that is that if you hustle too much, it makes you dumber and older. And your adrenal glands aren't built for 80-hour weeks. Cortisol floods your system. It spikes your blood sugar. It carves inflammation into your arteries. The World Health Organization now classifies burnout as an occupational phenomenon. And it's not just physical. Hustle starves your soul. When every minute you have is monetized, you stop noticing sunsets, your children's laughs, and that still small voice. You have to remember that your body is not a machine, it's a temple. And hustle culture treats it like a coal mine. Sleep debt equals brain damage. Matthew Walker was a UC Berkeley sleep scientist, and his study showed that sleep deprivation shrinks your hippocampus by up to 18% in a single night. And that's your memory center, guys. So chronic lack of sleep ages your brain decades ahead of schedule, and it shrinks. This is why we're seeing so many cases of early onset dementia and Alzheimer's disease, because the brain wasn't built to handle what we're putting it through. Chronic cortisol through your adrenal glands, that's the stress hormone, spikes your blood sugar, which leads to insulin resistance, which leads to diabetes. It literally imprints inflammation into your arteries. And that equals heart disease. Everything in the body every symptom in the body leads back to inflammation. And the number one spike of inflammation is cortisol, which is stress. We put ourselves under so much stress. And part of it is not even our fault. It's just, you know, the society that we live in, the ever-changing, you know, inflammation or inflation rates and you know, government closures, and people are worried about everything under the sun all the time. And our bodies weren't meant to handle that. We weren't created to go at 250% 24/7. It also suppresses your immune system, so you're more likely to get sick and to stay sick longer. It causes a 91% increase in the risk of early death. And your neck and your back and your hip pain become unbearable and chronic by age 35. And hustle doesn't just break your body, it hijacks your mind. Anxiety and depression are like on steroids. There was a Harvard study done with workers that were in always-on cultures, and they are three times more likely to develop clinical anxiety because your brain's default mode network, which is like where your creativity, your empathy, your self-reflection, they all live in this area of your brain, and it shuts down under chronic stress. So you become a doer, not a thinker or a feeler. You're just plugging through every day. You eat, you work, you watch a little bit of TV, and then you try to get some rest so that the next day you do it all over again. And you just become a doer. Decision fatigue equals moral collapse. Ever think like something, you know, we used to say the temple lights turn off at midnight, nothing good happens after the temple lights go out. Have you ever made a terrible choice at 11 p.m. after a 14-hour long day? It's not weakness, it's depletion. And hustle culture forces you into ethical corners because your prefrontal cortex is tired and it can't keep up. It's fried at that point. It even increases addiction to dopamine hits. Every single email that you send, every sale that you close, every like on your Rise and Grind post gives you a dopamine spike. And you're not building an empire, you're just chasing a drug. And the crash and the burnout and the emptiness and the wondering why success doesn't feel the way that you thought it would is a direct result of chasing those dopamine spikes and then running out. Hustle culture steals your presence. In a 2023 study titled Kids Spell Love, T-I-M-E, children of workaholic parents are two times more likely to struggle with anxiety by adolescence. Your three-year-old doesn't really care about what your revenue was in Q4. They care that you looked up from your laptop for a minute to watch what they were doing. And this is hard, guys. We want the best for our children. We want to, you know, have them have a safe and secure home and to have food and to have clothes. And it's just getting harder because everything is getting more and more and more expensive and our wages aren't keeping up. And so we find ourselves working harder and harder and harder to try and just keep up with the basic necessities, not even the extras, just the basic necessities. And so it's hard. It's hard to reconcile that in your brain and to tell yourself, you know, I need to pay attention to my kids and not be so, you know, involved in my work. It's so hard to do. But it also puts your marriage on life support. Divorce rates skyrocket when one partner works more than 50 hours a week. And the reason for that is that there's emotional absence. Physically, you're home, but mentally, you're already in tomorrow. And we all do this. I don't even think that you have to be the one working 50 hours a week or more, because we all are so focused on the next thing and what we need to do and all of the tasks that we're going to have for the next day. And rather than just focusing on the next 5 minutes and doing the next right thing for the next 5 minutes and then doing it again, we're so focused on what we need to do so that we don't drop any of the balls that we're currently juggling. And this takes a toll. It takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on your spirit, your mind, your body, and your marriage. So make sure that you guys are finding ways to connect with each other. You know, even if it's just sitting with each other and holding hands while you watch an episode of your favorite TV show so that you can decompress from the day. Connect with each other. Hustle culture is modern ball worship. You become your own god in this culture. You tell yourself you don't need rest, you'll sleep when you're dead. The translation of that literally is I'm above the limits that God built into creation. And that becomes pride, not productivity. And we are counseled very heavily in the scriptures against being prideful. And part of that is because pride goes back to all of this stuff that we've talked about. Rest on the Sabbath is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Exodus chapter 20 isn't take a break if you feel like it. It's remember the Sabbath because you'll forget if you don't. So hustle tells us that God's rhythm is optional, but God says if you break my rhythm, you're going to break yourself. And Jesus warns us in Mark chapter 8, what good is it to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Hustle promises us the world, but it delivers a hollow shell. We have to learn how to have both at the same time. There's nothing wrong with wanting a better life and with doing everything that you need to do to be able to have that. But if you can't find a way to reconcile that with resting your body, your mind, and your spirit, then you're not ever going to be happy. Because your spirit is going to be depleted and it's going to be hollow. The antidote to this is holy rest. Hustle culture thrives when you believe the lie that your worth equals your output, and holy rest declares war on that lie. Rest isn't a reward, it's a rhythm. It's how you keep yourself going. If you're just on the go all the time, go, 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 then eventually you burn out and you can't go anymore. Rest is not laziness, it's obedience to God's commandments. And it's not weakness, it's wisdom in the fact that you know that you have to rest your body so that you can continue on again. Now, if we go to the ultimate authority, the Bible, the biblical blueprint for rest is in Genesis chapter 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. So if we pause there, the first thing that God declares holy isn't a temple, a law, or a person, it's a rest. It's literal rest from the creation. If the creator of the galaxies decides to clock out for a minute, then who are we to decide that we're just going to go, 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 go 24/7? Fast forward to Exodus chapter 20, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. So this isn't a suggestion, it's a commandment, and it's got a promise baked right into it. Jesus doubles down on this in Mark, saying that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So rest isn't your reward for productivity. It's medicine to your soul and to your body. You know, how many of us go through our week, just go, 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 running, 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 and then Saturday, Sunday comes around and you sit down for a minute and you like almost instantly fall asleep. Because you can't, you've been going for so long that your body is just exhausted. Elijah learned this the hard way. Okay, picture Mount Carmel, 850 false prophets, fire from heaven, a nation turning back to God. Elijah is on an all-time high. And then Queen Jezebel sends a death threat, and Elijah runs into the wilderness. He collapses under a broom bush and he prays, "I have had enough, Lord. Please take my life." How many of us have been there? Victory one day and absolute despair the next. God's response to this isn't a pep talk. It's rest and food and silence. An angel touches Elijah, tells him to get up and eat. There's a hot cake and a jar of water. And then lie down again. So Elijah does this. He repeats this pattern for a few days. He sleeps, he wakes, he eats, he sleeps again. And only then does God speak to him, and it's in a very gentle whisper. So the takeaway from this is that holy rest isn't laziness. It's the runway for revelation. Elijah needed his body restored before his spirit could hear God's whisper. Now, if we jump to George Washington Carver, in 1896, he was born into slavery, now a brilliant scientist at Tuskegee Institute. He's staring at cotton fields bled dry by monoculture. Farmers are bankrupt. The soil is dead. Carver locks himself in his lab, but not with beakers. He prays. Every morning, he walks to the woods at dawn, his Sabbath rhythm, asking God to reveal the secrets of creation. What can he do to save and revive these people? There's no cotton. The cotton fields are dead. They're not producing. They're not growing. So these people are in huge trouble. So he's praying every single day, what can I do to fix this? And one day he hears, ask the peanut. I think if I heard in my head to ask the peanut, I would think I was totally insane. But he listened and he started to study and he discovered that peanuts restore nitrogen to the soil. And with this knowledge, he invented 300 plus uses, from milk to ink. And he's literally saved the South. In his own words, "I get up at 4 a.m. to walk and talk with God. That's when he reveals things to me." So Carver's genius wasn't a 24/7 hustle. It was holy rest that made room for a divine download. Early to bed, early to rise. I haven't heard that in such a long time. My grandparents had a literal cross-stitched frame on their wall that said early to bed, early to rise. And they did. They went to bed every single day at 8 o'clock. They got up every single morning at 4 o'clock. And they accomplished a lot. but they still took that time to rest. So, what does that look like for us today? Maybe we can't all get 8 hours of sleep immediately. My husband is absolutely amazing. And he works 58 hours a week. And he has done this for the last 10 years. And even before that, he was just going 24/7 because he wanted the best for us and he wanted to give us everything that he possibly could, an amazing life. And he has. We have a beautiful life. And when he comes home at night, you know, we try to have dinner just as early as possible. We have seven children that live at home still, so schedules are all over the place. That's sometimes a little bit difficult. But we try to have dinner as early as possible so that we can get to the kind of unwind and restful point of the night. Our kids go to bed between 8 and 8:30, and then he and I will usually watch a couple episodes, you know, on Netflix or Amazon or whatever, because that helps unwind from the day. And you're just not thinking about anything. You're just watching, you know, this episode, and your brain is kind of starting to calm down and you're starting to get tired. But then we're back up again at 4:30 the next morning, and it's go, 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 go. So not all of us can just instantly shut our brains off at 8 o'clock so that we can get up at 4 o'clock or whatever it is. But we can find ways in our lives to take advantage of slower moments and rest when we can. You know, when you are a brand new mom, they tell you sleep when your baby sleeps, which really you can't do that. But that's what they tell you. And the theory behind it is because your baby is up at random times of the night and you don't get that kind of full 8 hour block. So they advise you know, when your baby's down for a nap, take a little bit of a nap, take a power nap, take, you know, catch up on that couple hours that you missed, whatever it is. But we can't, the logistics of that are kind of insane. Most of us can't just take a nap in the middle of the day just because we want to. And so we need to take advantage of those moments and those times when, even if you can't sleep, you know, maybe you can just close your eyes for a minute and just be thankful for everything that you have. Maybe you can take a couple of big, deep breaths, you know, in through your nose, out through your mouth, and just allow gratitude to wash over your body, because it really does help to kind of keep you grounded and keep things in perspective. Try in a 24-hour block over the weekend, whenever your weekend is. Maybe it's not Saturday, Sunday, but whenever your weekend is, try not sending an email. You know, no side hustle, just sleep, read, walk. Start small, but just start somewhere. Try 10 minutes of silence, turn off your phone, breathe. Psalm 46 tells us, be still and know that I am God. And ask yourself when you last felt truly rested. And try to mimic the conditions of when that was, even for just a little while. I want to leave you with this image. It's 33 AD. It's a Friday afternoon. The sky goes dark. Jesus has been beaten. He's bleeding. He's exhausted. And he whispers to the sky, "It is finished." And then he rests. The Son of God entered the Sabbath while hanging on a cross. And then he rested for 3 days. And 3 days later, he was resurrected. So remember that rest precedes resurrection. Your burnout isn't a sign of devotion. It's a signal to return to the natural rhythm of the universe. I hope that you can contemplate this podcast episode. I hope that there are some ways that you can take this into your lives, that you can pray for those moments when you can get a little bit of rest, because we all need it. This world is just so insane. It's so crazy right now. And we are all going 24/7. So pray for those moments when you can catch a little bit of rest and have faith that they will come. And when they do come, make the most of them. Thank you so much for joining me today, guys. I hope you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow.